This is Elena Dine at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. With me is the holder of the William E. Simon Chair in Political Economy, Sidney Weintraub. Dr. Weintraub is here to discuss his most recent publication of Issues in International Political Economy, titled Learning About Ourselves from Financial Crisis. Dr. Weintraub, in your opinion, what kind of thinking led to a failure to do something about the housing bubble that stimulated the current economic crisis?
I think there are three features about the thinking or lack of thinking or the kind of thinking that led to some of the problems. The first one, which is pretty evident from some of the statements that we've heard ever since, is a kind of tunnel vision that the people in the banking industry in particular, but also some of the mortgage lenders and others, saw things only from the angle from which they were working. These things were profitable, and they didn't see other aspects of the problem. And that tunnel vision became quite pointed after a while. When everybody else saw looming problems, they didn't. The second is ideology. Now, ideology is necessary for all of us. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it is changeable. What I'm really getting at here is that a lot of people have deep convictions and they stick to them even if they don't conform with the facts of what's going on. The bad asset-based mortgages were working. That's all they saw. People are opposed to a stimulus package in part because if you spend money and get into debt, it just deepens problems. Others are convinced from their ideology that you balance budgets regardless of what's going on elsewhere in the economy, and we're seeing a lot of that. And the third element that I see now in what happened during the Bush administration is that the people who have been running the United States, particularly the last decade or so, or 8 years, paid very little attention to the growing income inequality in the United States. The income inequality grew during the good years of the Bush administration. They got away with it in those years because other people's, even those who were getting less from the tax cuts, were doing reasonably well compared to what they could be doing. And then once the tension began to hit and the economy got into a real big problem, they could no longer disregard inequality.
And why do you think that the average American should be concerned with the growth of income inequality?
Let me give you a few facts first of what the situation is in the United States. Today, these data come from the Census Bureau. They're from 2007, because that's the latest official data we have. The top richest families in the United States, the top 20%, receive 50% of the national income. 20% of families, 50% of national income. The top 5% within that top 20% get 22% of the national income, just the top 5%. The bottom 40% gets 20% of the national income. The bottom 40% get slightly less than the top 5% combined. Okay. There were some studies that have been done in the last few years. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, World Bank, did a similar study in which they looked at the index of inequality. The best-known index is something called the Gini coefficient, G-I-N-I, Gini coefficient. And the OECD and the World Bank compared the Gini coefficients before taxes in Western Europe and in Latin America, and they were quite similar. They then compared them again after taxes, and the Gini coefficient in Latin America remained very high, whereas that in Western Europe became much lower. That is, inequality was reduced in Western Europe. If you look at the difference between region, the Western Europeans treat inequality as a rather important issue. The United States doesn't, and this is really what they mean when they refer to the savage capitalism that exists in the United States. Failure to sufficiently address these disparities is a key reason why the Latin American general public has voted leftist in recent years, because they're aware that the inequality is great and only little is being done to move it, and it's moved them left in order to change the system. If we want to retain a strong form of capitalism and democracy in the United States, I think it's imperative to reduce the inequality, or we'll begin to see some of the things that developing countries with great inequality and income distribution have seen in recent years.
For more information on the Simon Chair, including previous publications of Issues in International Political Economy, please visit www.csis.org/Simon Chair.